Good morning. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to jump right in. Verse 3 through 5 says this: Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Good morning. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's a difficult word. It's a good word. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5 comes right after the text we started with 2 weeks ago. Romans chapter 3. I've been thinking about this series and closing it, and all of a sudden Tuesday I started feeling ill. And I thought, oh, please not COVID again. Anybody here been sick and it wasn't COVID? You're like, oh, yeah, that world still exists too. It's like we just, everybody, you get COVID, you know, you get the flu and more things. And so I've tested and I came out negative. And I went, oh, that's good. And then I thought, well, I probably tested wrong. Probably did something. Need to take that nasal swab and just, you know, find my brain and go in there. And then I found myself becoming melancholy. Anybody get melancholy when they get sick? There's a lot of head nodding going on right now. I make lists when I get sick. I make lists when I'm not sick. I make a lot of lists. I started thinking about being in the vineyard since 1992 and hearing a common thread of experiencing God's sermons. About sermons of having the Holy Spirit encounters, of Jesus moments. And I started thinking, I was like, I wonder how many services I've been part of since 1992. It's not a hard math moment, you know, 52 Sundays in a year, multiplied by 30 years. I'm up to 1,500 services. Home groups, special events, youth events, camps, mission trips. And I start asking myself the question as I'm becoming more and more melancholy, why are we doing this? I mean, have you ever done that? You guys are all here today, so that's nice. It's good to see you all. But I think every now and then we have to ask this question, why are we doing what we're doing? I talked to somebody earlier today and I said, I feel like I'm right in between two neighbors of Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 that says, don't grow weary in doing good, because in the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you continue going. I believe in that scripture. I believe you just keep on plugging away. Perseverance. 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 Character. Oh, mercy. All right. Changing my character. He's going deep places. But the problem is, I also have another neighbor who knocks on my door, and that's hope deferred causes the heart to grow sick. So I'm going to pull off some facade wood this morning. And I'm just going to say, look, this is a really, I mean, when King David is singing, how long do I sing this song? He's saying, I wish it was going to change. I wish that it was different. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that your word would speak to us. Lord, for all of us who are in that place of how long to sing this song, for all of us who are in a place of we're really trying to hold on to perseverance, God. Lord, I'm asking that you would shine. Sometimes we just don't have eyes to see. So would you remove everything that keeps us from seeing you and your hand on us? I ask that as a gift to your kids who you deeply love. Amen. Let me review. This series is based on Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 21, where Paul is communicating about everyone here is in a place that they have sinned. No one is accepted out of that. Nobody lived a perfect life. There's no perfect game to play. And he is communicating to a church of both Jews and Gentiles that we're all in the same boat. And then he turns on the sentence and he says, but now. Let's go back a little bit further before verse 21. Let's start at verse 19 so you can hear the theme. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we became conscious of our sin. But now, there it is, there's the turning moment. It's a Y in the road. Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter your gender, it doesn't matter your education, it doesn't matter your experience. You are all in the same boat that you needed to have Jesus die for you, period. He was the only one who's going to do it. He's the only one able to. We moved from that as a foundational point to last week talking about an parable, an illustration that God himself, Jesus, uses about building a house on a solid foundation on a rock. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise person, a wise man, who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But, this is a different but now. The other one is, but now we're in Christ. This is, but now your actions have led you into a place where you have a possibility of being foolish. And before you're going, well, hold on a second. Can Jesus say this? He can. And he did. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. There's a Y in the road. And one of the difficulties is we as followers of Jesus, day in and day out, have to make a decision of which way we're going to turn. There's a phrase in the New Testament, it's an old man. And really what it means is that my old nature, how I was raised, maybe family of origin, maybe the way I believed is now in contradiction from what's coming from the Spirit. And when that Y in the road happens and you face this, you have to make a decision. There's a gentleman named Yogi Berra. This is his real name. That's his real name. Passed away a while ago. He had a famous career in New York as a catcher, a coach, a manager. He spent most of his time with the New York Yankees. He played or coached in 21 World Series. 13 were on the winning side. But he also was known for the things that he said, phrases that came out of his mouth that he changed or altered or maybe created. There's a great book called The Yogi Book. I really didn't say everything I said. That's the title of the book. I really didn't say everything I said. Here's a couple of phrases that he used. You can observe a lot of things by watching. If the world were perfect, it wouldn't be. It's deja vu all over again. And here's my favorite one. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. I think that's really solid. Like, don't just stay there in the fork in the road. Make a decision. When there's a fork in the road, take it. I think it's so brilliant. This sermon series that we're talking about is we're now in Christ is based on this decision that we decided to follow Christ and then continue to follow Christ. We zoom in to see Jesus asking us this question, where are you going to go as you face this Y in the road? If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read a difficult text, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. There is a moment we are facing as followers of Jesus, and we're asking the question, if God so loves us, John 3:16 and 3:17, and that he has grace and mercy for us, then why are we talking about eternity outside of just being with God? There's actually a belief, a Unitarian belief, that all religions are pointing to God, and they're all just different roads to get to heaven. And the difficulty in there that I face, just from a logic place, is if God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, and that Jesus was willing to die on the cross, and there was another way, it doesn't seem like that's a loving God. I want you to hear that. I have a really hard time from the logical place. If God really loved the Son, and he really loved us, and there was another way than killing his Son, what love is that? I also have an issue with John 14:6. That says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way except through Jesus himself. And at some point of time, Matthew, the follower of Jesus, the writer of the gospel, speaks to us about heaven and hell. It's interesting. People tell me every now and then, it says, I don't feel like the church talks a lot about heaven and hell. Well, the problem with there is, like, most often when we talk about hell, we're talking about please avoid this. And we talk about it only from an eternal place. Now, by the way, eternal hell is not a good thing. I'm really not trying to sell, soft sell. You know, it's not going to be bad. It's going to be, like, I've said this before. If all hell is the absence of all things Jesus, I don't want to go there. Like, I want you to think about them, him loving and compassionate and graceful and long-suffering and merciful to us. And all those things that are of God are not in any location. I don't want to go there. I don't want to spend eternity without the one I love, who gave his life for me. So Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31 through 46, talks as an agricultural community about an illustration that they would all understand, and that's separating different types of livestock, sheep and goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. He's talking about himself, and he's reminding us all that he is the Messiah, he is the King of all kings. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd would separate the sheep from the goats. It's not about sheep and goats. It's about humanity. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left, and the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. The righteous will answer him. By the way, they're in a right place. They're the ones who are approved. They're the ones saying, you have to hear this, saying, why would you say this? When did we do this? And he's going, no, you don't get it. You did it. But when did we do this? By the way, that is a great sign of humility. Righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needed clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And Jesus says one of the most kingdom-oriented phrases here. It is a community phrase. The king will reply, truly I tell you, Whatever you did for one of the least of these, brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. There's the heartbeat of God. You want to hear the great gospel moment? You get to be a part of this. And sometimes when you're ministering to one of the people who are marginalized, when you are ministering to somebody who has no hope, you might just be ministering to Jesus. And in fact, he even pushes and says, you are. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and I was in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer from a different place. Their heart is different. Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in person and we did not help you? If Jesus, if we saw you looking like the Jesus we know from the Jesus story or Chosen, the physical Jesus, we would have done something. And he replies, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. If you are in a place and there's a Y in the road, you should take it. Now, I know it's a little bit flippant, but here's the truth. Your actions mean something. And Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples and talking about being built up on a firm foundation, both of them, both groups of people, the one who built poorly and the one who built well, both heard the word of God. Hearing the word of God is not enough. It's not. We have to find this place of action. So here's what we're going to do as a church community. We are going to act. Now, for some of you, you're like, boy, that was a really hard sell to get to that, isn't it? But it's the most difficult thing I can present to you. Because just knowing about the love of God isn't enough. Years ago, there was a Christian concert. Christian artist in the 1970s said, you know, all these people are going to hell and you don't give a blank. I'll say a poop word here for those of you guys who won't be able to hear. And then he said this, and he goes, here's the difficulty. You're more upset that I swore and said this word than the fact that people are going to hell. Now, I don't know if he should have said that. I don't know if we could have heard that as Christianese ears that are on our side of our face can hear. But I think he's right. It was like we really don't care that much all the time. Now, before you all of a sudden go into a place of going, hey, hold on a second. I think there is a part of this that we have to take this serious. And I think the Lord is highlighting some things in us of saying, hey, we said from the very beginning that this was not going to be a social club, that this was going to be a discipleship movement, that this was going to be, we are choosing to give everything that we can give to the Lord. And if that's uncomfortable, I just want to tell you, that's where we're going. It didn't change 5 years ago when I got to the pulpit. It didn't change when the church was birthed in the 1980s. It didn't change when John Wimber all of a sudden started gathering some people and mobilizing them of saying, you can do this stuff. It was from 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, this is my call. If you want to be my follower, deny yourself, give everything you have. So here's the action step. It's a short sermon, but it's a serious sermon. By the way, I had both pastors pull me aside one way or another and said, hey, I'm here for you. No, you're not feeling well. I said, I think I'm supposed to be here. I think I'm supposed to close this series. All right, good. We're here for you. Got one in my back pocket. Got a sermon ready. And I said, no, I appreciate that. Now, I know that there's an enemy that doesn't like me and it doesn't like you either. And I don't know how much of this is like spiritual warfare of what's going on and all those things. It could just be a common cold. It could be something else. I don't know. But I really have felt like in this series, it's like, you know, this is a part of like, this is our mandate. This is our this is our Luke chapter 4 when we unrolled the scroll of Isaiah and said, this is what we're going to be about. So I want to say a couple things, and if you want to join me, that's fine. If you don't, I think there's a missed opportunity. I'm not saying that as a car salesman. I just think this is one of the things that the Lord is doing. And the first thing I want to do is I want to lead us into a place of repentance, of asking forgiveness. Because the truth of it is some of us have just chosen wrong over and over again. We have heard the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit. We've heard the heartbeat of God, and we've decided to go away from Him. Because we knew we would be forgiven. And I think it grieves us hard. I think it is, you know, we have an opportunity over and over again for doing right, and we just choose not to do this. And some have just been staring at the Y in the road for a long time and going, I don't want to do either. I don't want to disobey, but I don't want to obey either. I don't want to choose. And as has been said, if you decide not to choose, it is a choice. So I think there's a part of this that we have to ask for forgiveness. That is our part of the atonement. What the Lord has done, we all of a sudden take our very lives and say, Lord, we give it to you. You are our righteousness. So please forgive me. Give me the ability to see. And would you help me act upon what you're putting into my heart? You know, there's another word in the scriptures that says faith without works is dead. And ultimately what they're saying in there is not just like without faith your action isn't going to do anything, but if you don't have faith, most likely you're not going to do anything about it. If you had faith that you were going to be a great guitar player, you'd pick up a guitar. If you thought you were going to be a great evangelist, you probably would share your faith. If you thought, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, the problem that I have is my ego. I don't know if I have faith. I don't know if I really, truly believe. And here's the truth. You have to have some form of faith to have action. I think we're supposed to repent. I think we're supposed to realize that we're connected to Christ's righteousness. The righteousness of Christ is our righteousness. And then somewhere, somehow, we're going to have to act upon our faith. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, before we pray. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous One. He is our righteousness. He is here to forgive. Now, I don't have any interest in putting a list together of our sins and showing it to us. Amen? Amen. Let it be. Please, Lord, let it be. But I do think that the Lord is prompting some things, and here is my gut. I think He's been doing this for a while in some of our lives, where that kind knock on the door of saying, I'm just asking you to try again. And you're like, I don't know. I'm just asking you to come up one more time. I don't know if I can do it, God. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would forgive us. Lord, we've wanted to see revivals, and we've just not been faithful in our steps to get to anything. And Lord, I just know for me, I do feel like I am living in between two neighbors of be faithful, persevere, and hope deferred. And Lord, the lawn that's the greenest is the one that we water. And so, Lord, I ask for forgiveness right now for just not having faith of saying you who are faithful is going to complete the good work that you started in each and every one of us. Lord, we've put a lot of things in front of you, and our beliefs of community and a whole bunch of other things, and we just said, well, we'll vote our way out of problems. And Lord, you gave us a mandate. You gave us a sacred call. So, Lord, I ask first and foremost for me that you would forgive me. And I also ask that you would forgive me, Jesus, of just trying to do it on my own effort, in trying to be faithful, of saying, Lord, I just don't see what I'm hoping to see. So, Lord, we give you your church back. This is your family. This is your bride. And I ask, Lord, that your will would be done and that your kingdom would come here in our midst, in our lives, in our families' lives, at our workplace, as we gather together in home groups. Lord, that you would revive us. You would take those paddles and say, clear, and start the heart again, the heart of Jesus in our community. I also, Lord, ask that you would help us see, that you would remove the scales from our senses. The sight, Lord, has been blinded by so many things. And Jesus, we ask that we would kingdom eyes. I ask that we would have godly eyes, the eyes of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to see what you're doing. And Lord, I also ask that you would help us do, not just to be hearers of the word, but to act upon it. Because if we don't believe, then we won't act. So help us, Lord. We have some faith, but we need more. So help us, Lord, even in our unbelief. Amen.